Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 14th Perek, Perek Yud Dalad of Sefer Yirmiyahu. This is a terribly tragic Perek. This Perek is something very hard to read, very hard to digest. It happens in the later years of Yirmiyahu. It's now fast forwarding into an era that we've not spent time dealing with up to now. These are the times of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, the third, essentially long-living king that Yirmiyahu prophesizes during the reign of. And Tzidkiyahu has already witnessed the first round of Golos. His Yehoyakim and Yehoyachin experienced the first stages of Babylonian wrath. And now Tzidkiyahu trying to patch it together towards the end. This is when ultimately it all falls. Just to give a sense of the background over here, it was during the reign of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech that false prophets arose, and we're going to deal with them a little bit later. We're going to meet a fellow called Hananya ben Azur, who gets up there and essentially argues and claims that Israel should make a coalition with Egypt to fight against Babylon. And Yirmiyahu knows this is true. This is false. Yirmiyahu knows that fighting against Babylon is absolutely useless. They don't have the schus, they don't have the spiritual credit. They should just lie low, they should daven to Hashem and do teshuvah. That's the only thing that can help them right now. But a summit is held in Egypt, and Hananya ben Azur wins the popularity contest, so to speak, and they decide to congregate and to join the coalition of Egypt against Babylon. They don't pay their taxes, and Babylon, Bavel, reacts decisively. And Bavel sends their troops from the north and through the port of Ashkelon, which they control, and send their troops towards Yerushalayim. As they are moving towards Yerushalayim, Egypt does attack them entire up the coast, and Babylon is forced to retreat to beat Egypt and then comes back for the ultimate siege on Yerushalayim, which will lead to the destruction. This is the moment in time which we're talking about. And it is the first section of the Perek is Yirmiyahu addressing the droughts. I share in the first pasuk, Asher Yod Devar Hashem El Yirmiyahu Al Divrei Habatzaros. There are these droughts, there's a lack of shortage of food, and Yirmiyahu is talking about this shortage. And he talks about how Yehuda, Yerushalayim, is in a state of avelos. It has no food, there's nothing, the farmers come back, there's nothing in their baskets, there's nothing the land is even giving. This is obviously a drought which is as a result of the siege which is coming, but also because Hashem stops the rain, it's almost like the nature is reflecting as well the terrible episode that's about to come. And what's fascinating about this is that if you look at the voice of Yirmiyahu very carefully, in his describing this, he is actually on the side of the people. He says, "Im avoneinu onu bonu Hashem, if our sins have answered against us, Hashem, asay l'man shemecha, do for the sake of your name," sound the words which sound very familiar in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening. Ki rabu meshuvoseinu l'chachatonu. We've sinned. We're completely, absolutely guilty. Now, truth be told, Yirmiyahu is not guilty. Yirmiyahu is not part of the guilty parts. He, in fact, was the one reprimanding them and telling them don't, and telling them please don't, and begging them, and they didn't listen. But nonetheless, he still puts himself on the railway tracks with them in his defense. What is Hashem going to say to this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he turns to Hashem, he says, "Lama tihiyeh ki'ish nidhom ki gibor lo yuchal lo'oshia." Hashem, why aren't you answering us? We're starving, we have nothing, we're in the face of this terrible, terrible onslaught. What are you going to do for us? So what does Hashem respond? Hashem says, this is so shocking, it's so difficult to read this. Hashem responds very clearly. He says, "Komar Hashem lamaze pasuk yod, kain ahavu lanu raglehem loichosachu." You know, they like to run around. These are tempestuous people. These are people who are hot-headed. Hashem lo rotzom. Hashem doesn't want them. Ato yizkar avonam v'yivkor chatasam. Let them deal with their sins. Don't put yourself on their side. And then he goes on to say, and he says, you know what? They're going to fast. They're going to pray, like we fast and pray today. Hashem says, I'm not listening. Don't listen to them. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to bring the sword and the famine and the pestilence against them. Anochi mechaleos, I'm going to destroy them, says Hashem. We've reached the end of the road, says Hashem. Yirmiyahu gets up and he tries to defend them again. He says, Yirmiyahu, this whole perek is a dialogue between Yirmiyahu on the side of the people and Hashem in the prosecuting seat. Yirmiyahu says, "Ahu Hashem, Hashem Elokim, hinei neviim omrimi olohem, lo tiru cherev v'rov, lo diyeh lochem, ki shalom emes etein lochem, b'mokom hazeh." Yirmiyahu says, but the people aren't able to know that they should look at their sins, because they've been told by the false prophets that it's going to be peaceful. If they just side with Babylon and if they just side with Egypt against Bavel, then they'll be fine. They have no reason to know that the train's coming, that they're on the tracks. They have no reason to know this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have pity on them. Hashem responds in Pasuk Yudalad, Vayomer Hashem Elai, Sheker Anavim Nibim Mishmi. You know those four prophets? They're all false prophets. Lo Shalachtim, I didn't send them. Lo Tzivisim, I didn't command them. Lo Dibarti Aleihem, I didn't have any conversation with them. Chazon Sheker V'Kesem V'Elil V'Tarmis Libam Hema Misnabim Lahem. They come here. These are complete fabrications. This is all a function of what they're imagining and what they want to tell the people. It's kind of like almost like you sort of the media today, where the result of a lot of the articles, the op-eds or the editorials, is as a function of what that particular person wants to say. The facts will fall in line with the argument that they've decided to make. That's what happens to these prophets. The media of the day, the prophets of the day, are telling them a very different message to what's happening. And Hashem says, you know what? As the Mitzudos David points out, these prophets never presented any signs, any divine signs, and their words are so patently false that Bnei Israel actually have the liability for not believing them. They should have not believed them. They have the liability for having believed them. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's too late, I'm sorry. You know what? They were told that they're going to have peace. They were told that they're going to have safety. Well, I'm going to send terrible things against them. They'll be dying in the streets of famine and of massacres. No one will bury them. Their wives, their children, their sons and their daughters will be lying dead in the street. There'll be nobody to bury them because they should have known. They should have seen through the veneer of those prophets. Taradna enai dima laila v'yomam v'al tidemeno ki shever gadol nishbara b'surasam b'asamim v'akor nachlam oid. I'm not listening to the tears anymore, as Hashem says. Such a hard thing to understand, to hear. Ultimately, the parak concludes with Yirmiyahu's last plea for mercy. And he says, and listen to these words, don't these words sound familiar? Pasuk Yotes to the end, to Chof Beis, he says, Hama'ois ma'asto es Yehuda im b'tzion go'alto nafshecho. Do you despise them so much, Hashem? Maduhi kisani, why are you killing us? There's no healing. There's no mitigation. Kavela shalom ve'ein tov. We're hoping for good. There's not for peace. There's nothing. There's no goodness. There's confusion in the place of healing. Yodano Hashem Rishenu. We know our evil. Avoin avoseinu ki chotan eloch. We've sinned to you. Al tinatz leman shemechot. Don't curse us. But there's no answer. There's no answer. Yirmiyahu was left with a broken heart. For the people he reprimanded, the people he tried to change, the people he begged to change, the people he talked to, he screamed at, he was persecuted by, and now they're at the end of the road and there's no way back. And Hashem won't respond now. Yirmiyahu's caught in the middle. Can you imagine? What a terrible, terrible tragedy. In fact, the words Yirmiyahu states over here are almost the same words that we hear at the end of the other Sefer that Yirmiyahu penned. Not Sefer Yirmiyahu, but Sefer Megillas Echa, the last Pasuk of your Echa, which is so devastating, which we actually don't read as the last Pasuk, we repeat the second last, the penultimate Pasuk, is the following, the last Pasuk. Ki im ma'as ma'astanu katzavta aleinu ma'ad ma'ad. Hashem, even if you're despised by us because of our terrible actions, year after year, generation after generation, but Hashem, your anger is very, very intense. We've suffered so much. That's how Echa ends. It's so painful an ending that in fact we bring the second last pasuk back. we bring that in again because it's such a painful thing. That's the same pasuk, the words, the pasuk over here in your test, in our parak. Have you really rejected? Have you despised Yehuda? What's Yirmiyahu saying? So painful, so painful. I want to actually just point out, you know, just as perhaps as a light in this parak, one of the things that Yirmiyahu says, and perhaps we can walk away with this as an uplifting aspect of this parak. And that is, if you look very carefully in Pasuk Ches, he says a beautiful thing about Bnei Israel. Even though they deserve all the bad that they get, he says, Mikveh Yisrael Moshiyai. Yisrael is a mikveh in their Moshiyai. Mikveh is, we use the word today to describe, you know, the ritual pool of bathing, the mikveh. But what does the word good mikveh means over here? So the Radak says the word mikveh comes to the word kavod, to hope. Meaning what he's saying is that even the Jews who have so little connection to you, at the time, be'es tzara, that is when even they hope in you. I just remember there's this beautiful story which is recorded in Yaffa Eliach's Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust, where she describes Yom Kippur in 1942, the Blujova Rebbe, an incredible human being who lives through the Holocaust, he was approached by a number of Hasidim. He was in a terrible concentration camp called Yanovska, which was, and he was turned to by a number of Hasidim who said, "Please, Rebbe, tomorrow's Yom Kippur. Please approach the Kaipo, the person in charge, the Jews in charge, to ask him not to put us to a melacha, to any work which involves melachos, perhaps not to violate your Yom Kippur." So he goes over, and the person is a person by the name of Schneer Weiss, who's the capo, who's the Jew who's in charge, a flagrantly, not just apathetic to religion, but anti-religious person from the pre-war years. You know, the person has no appreciation for Yadus, for Torah, Judaism, and it's a threat, because by going to him, he's essentially disclosing who he is, which is a danger to himself, the Blujova Rebbe. But nonetheless, he decides, he's very moved by this, so he goes over to Schneer Weiss, and he says, "You know, I'm the rabbi of Pruchnik, Rabbi Yisrael Spira. You know, you're a Jew like me. I just beg, tonight's Kol Nidre night. There's a small group of Jews who don't want to transgress any of the melachos, the 39 melachos midoraisa of Yom Kippur. Please assign us to something. Okay, is there something you can help us with?" And he holds his hand and he says, "I promise you, as long as you live, it'll be a good life. Just allow us to have some sort of hope in this humiliating existence." So Schneer Weiss turns to them and says, "You know, tonight I can't do anything. But I have no jurisdiction over the night, but tomorrow I'll see what I can do." The next morning, he takes them over that night, they were taken to the Lvov Cemetery, and the Blujova Rebbe was beaten that night so badly, it still has scars from it after the war. The next morning, he was taken to SS, the Blushneer Weiss took this group to the SS headquarters, and he made them clean the floors, and he told them to clean the floors without water, and clean the windows without water, to be able to, that there's no melachas being performed. The Blujova Rebbe was up on the ladder and he was cleaning the window, sort of rubbing a cloth against the window, not doing any particular melacha. And at 12 o'clock, in walk two SS officers, Yimach Shimon v'Zichram. And they walk in with a tray covered with food, vegetable soup, and piled high with meat. Food they haven't seen since before the war years. And they say, and they knew it was Yom Kippur, and they said, "It's time to eat. Come Jews, fresh, eat." And nobody moves. They start screaming, and they call over Schneer Weiss, and they say, he says, "Jewish dog, eat now." And Schneer Weiss looks at them and he says, he salutes and he says, "We are Jews and we do not eat today. Today is Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year." He says, "You don't understand, Jewish dog. You eat or you die in the name of the Führer of the Third Reich, fress." Schneer Weiss saluted and he said, "Today again, in quiet words, today is Yom Kippur, the day of fasting. We can't eat this." He pulled out his pistol, shot it right through his head, and there he died. Right there, this irreligious, rejecting religion Jew, Schneer Weiss, died right then. The Blujova Rebbe said, "Until now, I never really understood what the Gemara meant when it said, even the transgressors in Israel are as full of good deeds as a pomegranate is filled with seeds. Mole, mitzvah is karimon," and that's what Yirmiyahu was saying. Mikveh Yisrael moshiyoi ba'eis tzara. Even those who don't appreciate you, Hashem, they still hope in you, even in the times, in those days of tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we wish, we hope, we don't have to see, we don't have to witness the description of this perek in Yirmiyahu, and know that, God willing, we should see the Yeshua and Echam of Karvi Amen. Have a meaningful day.